Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another nice day. It's threatened a couple of times. Hasn't rained, at least on our side of town.
Oh, we got some flooded on our side.
See, I wondered. It looked like it, yeah. And I had some people saying, well, they didn't know if they'd get anything done out at our house. And it's like, well, it never rained today. Yesterday, it never stopped.
Rained at about 1 to 2 o'clock at our house every single day this week, like hard.
On schedule. So, yeah. No, I think a little bit closer to downtown, a little bit closer to the radio station.
Right. So south of the interstate, I don't think it rained.
Yeah, we got a little bit of rain, as has been the case for
just about every day.
Much of the summer so far, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so hope everybody doing well. Hey, you hear multiple voices. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer back with us on a Thursday.
Hello.
I mean, summer, it is crazy. I mean, I know you've got things going on. You go to Braves games.
Yep.
We've had schedule changes, so
I'm going to be gone next Thursday too, so don't get used to this slot. I'll be here. I'll try to be here early next week, but I know I can't do Thursday next week.
I'm out Tuesday and Friday next week. That can be a problem.
We'll figure out whatever we need to. But I might have to
tag in on Tuesday.
Yeah, I might have to call.
That would be great.
I might tag in on Tuesday for you.
Oh, that's nice. All right. So we're filling up the vacancies already. You're going to see Ringo Starr next week, which is very cool.
Tuscaloosa next
Tuesday. Chatting about Ringo Starr and super groups and other stuff before the show starts we're right in the thick of the off season for
we are about to be in the nearly completely off.
Although you have season. I mean like
baseball.
Yeah, like baseball. Like we said, I mean, you know, it's not going to be all that long before we're gearing up the preview machine with SEC Media Days, and then, you know, it'll be August. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's
4 weeks from now it'll be wrapping up.
And the fact that we still have some college athletics to preview, as you know, and I mean, not only is, you know, the NBA Finals going on as well, but like we've got some college stuff to preview. We're going to talk tomorrow with our new friend Sam Wiederhaft, who works for the play by play folks up at Coastal Carolina, and he's part of the broadcast team at Coastal, and he's going to talk a little bit about the finals of the College World Series with us. So that'll be
increasingly looking like there's no shame in losing to that Coastal Carolina.
I don't think there's any. Yeah, none at all. At the time, I think you realize this was no, even though they were coming from a mid major.
How many games in a row have they won?
26.
26 now. I mean,
baseball games. Wins in a row is unbelievable.
Right.
It's when Cleveland did that a couple years ago when they got that really long streak, and it was like, oh, this is like insane.
The only series this season that Troy baseball lost was at Coastal 2-1. On a weekend series. So like this Coastal team is, and
they're good.
Yes, they're coming from a mid-major.
Good mid-major.
And yes, it's not necessarily everybody's
They won a national title 9 years ago.
So. Brand name, but it's a fantastic baseball
team.
I
don't know a ton about college baseball, but I feel like I would take the Sun Belt over like most of the Big Ten. It's a little iffy now with UCLA and Oregon and USC going in, but like the original Big Ten. Like, I don't know.
Some of the Big Ten teams you associate with, like, a lot of football success,
Michigan has had some success.
Michigan's done okay in baseball. I think Ohio State's had periods of success in baseball, but it's like, yeah, I mean, but still, certainly, like, outside of the brand names, the Sun Belt, I think, has consistently produced high-level programs.
I'll say this. It looks like the Sun Belt usually produces more regional hosts than the Big Ten does. That original Big Ten slate.
I think that's probably accurate. But yeah. I mean, just the I could see people thinking because of the name and just because of the conference, like Coastal Carolina, it's a surprise they've made it this far. If you've watched them, like I mean that first night against Auburn, It was. I mean, we talked about. Oh, well, they don't hit that many home runs. They were what?
They hit
I mean,
two in the first game. They hit four.
They hit four.
Two players hit two each.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They were barreling. So it's.
And they have probably the best all around pitching staff in the country.
And they're going on full rest this weekend.
Well, LSU would argue that it's going to be really interesting. I mean, LSU's got a guy who is being projected as the number one pick in the major league draft in Cade Anderson. And then they have another guy who may be a first round pick as well. They may have two first round picks that's starting, and because of that insane finish to last night's game, they are completely rested. So both teams have their pitching staffs intact and ready to go here in this best of three series that starts Saturday
night. It's such a fun series, I think, because you have Coastal, who has won a national championship and is this hottest team in college baseball, and then on the other side you have LSU, which has been, of the last decade, probably the sheerest thing in the sport in terms of like always competing for championships.
Right, 2 years removed from the Paul Skeens,
Dylan Cruz
World Series title. One very prominent player who was a freshman All-American on that team. I had the game-winning hit, the game-tying hit in the eighth inning, and then the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth last night in Jared Bear Jones.
Yeah, it's a really fun series, and again, that's two programs I think also in LSU and in Coastal in there, like die-hard, rabid baseball fans, like as well. It's like it's really cool to see that that kind of get rewarded, so to speak. Now, there were a lot of teams in Omaha that were around that kind of caliber. Like, I mean, Arkansas, I cannot imagine.
Arkansas has come so close. And last night, I mean, they had the game. Now, they would have had to turn around and beaten LSU again today.
Sure.
But, I mean, they had that ball game. It felt like twice. You know, they came back and scored on a missed double play opportunity by LSU in the eighth to take a 3-2 lead.
Yeah.
Jones hit the homer to tie it in the bottom of the eighth, and you felt, man, all the momentum's gone to LSU. They bring in their second triple-digit reliever, and Arkansas just barreled him up and, I mean, got solid hits, and the bottom of their order came through and gave him a two-run lead. They had a 5-3 lead going to the bottom of the ninth, and Arkansas had every chance. Were you watching? Did you watch the ending.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, before the ending, they had opportunity after opportunity. I believe it was the leadoff batter hit a ground ball that the first baseman fielded going towards second. Pitcher was late getting off the mound. He wasn't going to beat the runner to first base because he was late getting off the mound, but then the first baseman threw it behind him, so the runner goes to second. They walk the next batter. He gets an out, so there's one out, runners at first and second, and what appeared to be just a tailor-made double play ball to the shortstop instead of making the double play. And when you watch the replay, when the ball hits his glove, the base runner, the batter, is not even in the picture. He's not even halfway toward first base. It would have been an easy double play. Instead, he pivoted through to third, got the lead runner. He did get the lead runner, but the game's over if they make the double play. So that still leaves it first and second with two outs. I'm sure you saw the line drive that the left fielder
just misplayed it.
Misplayed, slipped, and the ball goes off his shoulder into the corner, and both runs score to tie the game.
Yep.
And then the next batter is Jones, who hits a line drive that the second baseman jumped a hair too early, and the ball kicks off his glove and game over.
It's insane.
The fact
that this is the same team.
Devastating loss.
Same team that several years ago had an even worse loss.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I mean, they're going to win the World Series. They drop a foul pop-up, and a couple of pitches later, walk-off homer.
Yep. If I remember correctly, that would have won the series straight up, and then Oregon State had to win another one.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, it's just snake bitten. You kind of feel like Arkansas has done everything they need to do to be a championship level program.
They are a power. There's no question.
They're so good.
You know, every year they're really good.
And it just
seems
like an Omaha and clutch situation here recently. They just cannot get over the hump in the weirdest ways. Like, it's not just like, they ran into a really good team, and they did. Like, LSU was a really good team, but it's like, oh, no, you had your opportunities to do it, mistakes. Yeah. Mistakes that cost you.
I mean, I want to say that play seemed kind of routine out in left field, but he also took a tough route to it, right? And the ball.
He misjudged it off.
Yeah,
of that.
I don't want to be too.
Really hard. That's one of those things.
Yeah.
When a ball's hit sort of at you, sometimes it's difficult to gauge. Is it going to carry? Do I need to come in?
You saw how far it went on the ricochet.
Oh, my goodness.
Like that.
It went farther on the ricochet than if he'd let it go.
Like, so that tells you how hard that ball was hit. So, I mean, I get that it certainly on television, right, I can understand how the viewer would be like, oh, well, how do you not make a play like that in left field in a clutch situation? It is, you know, when you take a bad route to it initially and the ball's hit that hard, disaster can ensue, and that's what happened there. I think Arkansas, they've been playing from behind ever since they lost that first game to LSU. Right.
And lost it by one, didn't
right,
they?
Which they, which they came very close to winning that one too.
And I hate playing, you know, amateur psychologist with a lot of sports. I feel like fans do that way too often, and we don't really know what's going on, but that when you lose that way in that kind of situation, it just kind of feels like nerves might have played a big part. Like when you have missed opportunity, and it's like, okay, if the ball comes my way, there's like so much pressure. Okay, I got to go finish this off, and it can get just
well. I think I think the play that double play.
Yeah.
The shortstop's thinking, got to cut down the lead runner.
Yeah.
Whereas if he just makes the routine play
confidently, just confidently say, hey, we're in a double play situation. Let's go ahead and end it right here.
We've seen some crazy stuff in the eighth and ninth inning in the postseason this year in college baseball.
They were up by two in that double play situation, right?
Yes.
So at least try to make the double play and
the worst case scenario, if it's you first got first and third. And he was the shortstop was the one they kept showing after the game. I mean, he'd really lost it, and I mean, it was a devastating. Devastating loss for Arkansas. Back to what we were talking about, should be a great championship series between a couple of teams that expect to win. I mean, both of these teams and their fan bases expect to win. LSU's already poor mouthing Coastal Carolina, the little boy. They're gonna put the little guy in his place. And we'll see. I mean, Coastal doesn't mind that at all. They expect to take on the best, and
they've done it really well.
They sure have.
I mean, how much better is LSU? I mean, I guess that would be the question, right? I mean, LSU entered as the favorite of the eight teams that went to Omaha, but I think Coastal Carolina has shown that. Like, I mean, they pitch both in the rotation
LSU's
and out of the bullpen.
LSU's got more power.
LSU's than
Coastal,
but Coastal's lineup has been consistently dangerous in this postseason, and they've got a guy in Bodine who might be a top 15, top 20 pick in his own right as a catcher. So I mean, at the top of the lineup for Coastal. So I mean,
and they're playing with all the confidence in the world when it's been a month and a half since they've lost a baseball game or something.
April 22nd was the last time.
Almost 2 months. It'll be 2 months by the time that series ends.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Did LSU lose in super regional play? I forget if the Little Rock game.
No. They won straight up in super regional, but they lost to Little Rock in the region.
So it's been. I mean, an LSU team that's been plenty hot in their own right in super. I mean, not losing in super regional play and playing like this in Omaha. I mean, you got two
LSU,
teams that are
LSU had to. That was the ULM one, right?
Arkansas. It was Arkansas. Little Rock.
Little Rock. It was Little Rock.
Little Rock forced an elimination game in Baton Rouge in regional play. LSU won that, and they haven't lost since.
And if I remember correctly, LSU was down early
in that elimination game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and Little Rock, kind of like Murray State, like that would have been a Cinderella. Like that's
oh,
a
no
team.
Question.
That's a team
by
that's
way,
not
what,
getting in.
By the way, what conference is Little Rock in?
Little Rock is no longer in the Sun Belt.
I thought they were still in the Sun Belt.
No, they left the Belt a while ago.
Because they don't play football.
No, the Belt. Yeah, the Arlington and Little Rock left when the Belt wanted everyone
like
to be a bowl subdivision.
Or something like
that. I think they're in a valley, Ohio or Missouri. Hmm. They're in one of the valleys. Hmm.
Missouri
now.
Would make sense.
And UT Arlington is in that league with like, is it the WAC?
The new WAC.
The new WAC. Texas.
That is my favorite conference.
Yeah, a bunch of Texas and California.
Basketball.
No, like,
it's so
is that like the Cal Baptist? I think is hanging
I'll
out.
I'll look up the WAC.
See who's right. Yeah, see who's in the WAC. But no, yeah, Little Rock was a longtime Sun Belt member institution as well. The Belt got Southern Miss and Coastal in, and I don't think because Troy almost made it, but the Belt was a two bid league this year. But no, it's I mean Coastal and LSU. I mean, it's easy to say because they're in the finals. They've been the two best teams in the postseason.
Yep.
Like they've been the two best teams in the college baseball postseason, and the winner will be. It's a long college baseball season, but you're not thinking like, oh, it's an undeserving champion that got hot at the right time. Like these are two teams where, yeah, the winner this weekend of the best of three, absolutely deserves to put the heavyweight title. Strap the belt on around their waist because they went out and they earned the thing.
By the way, the WAC this past season in basketball was Utah Valley, Grand Canyon, Cal Baptist, Seattle, Abilene Christian, Tarleton State, UT Arlington, Southern Utah, and Utah Tech. So it's like wow. California. It's like this weird West Coast conference with a bunch of Texas holdovers.
I mean, it is as advertised a Western athletic conference, right? Like all of those teams are west of. Pretty much west of Dallas,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, you've got, and there's some Utah, there's some Texas, some California. Did you say Seattle is in that league these days? So I mean, yeah. So it's
Chicago State was at one point. Yeah, like, it's a wild league.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right, we're just underway here on the Thursday Drive.
Are we
Bill,
doing
Dan,
so, are,
Justin Ferguson?
Are we doing more conference realignment? Is that the buzz with like?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean we're not done mm-hmm. there, right? We're gonna spend. Oh boy.
Well, I mean, a lot of
the small ones are shuffling.
They're doing their best to trying to stay alive.
Saw a thing today that it was like UNLV was like angling for the Big 12. Hmm. Like, all right, why not? I guess.
I guess I was gonna wonder like what would be the next shakeup of the Big Four, right? Like I mean, because I guess the Pac-12 is looking to, but like who would be the next next team to move to? You know, would someone join the ranks? Would a team jump from one league? To
no.
another, is the ACC on stable ground? Are we still doing that?
I believe Clemson and Florida State dropped their lawsuit, mm-hmm. so I think they're locked in for a little while.
I think they got sort of a Texas and Oklahoma deal with the Big 12, right? Where it's like maybe I think the
ACC a little more.
I think the ACC is not going to pay all of its schools like an
equally.
Equal. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get an equal payout in the conference deal, and I think the schools that prioritize football. Might be at the top of the, and I imagine Duke and UNC will also do, just fine in those.
But. Yeah, no, it's probably going to be like, hello, SMU, Cal, and Stanford, you're not getting as much money because why should you?
I think that if you
don't belong here anyway.
Well, I think it would
but
be
we
fair.
Got it because we got you because we panicked.
Not to try to like separate the haves and the have nots even more in that league, but I would think that if you haven't competed in football or men's basketball, the schools that have competed for the championship and even national championships in those two sports would have a pretty good argument to say they deserve a larger share.
We're taking money away from Boston College.
BC is how much Georgia Tech? That would be I don't know. I'm just thinking ACC programs that would maybe qualify for the Qs.
Would definitely be Syracuse here recently.
I mean. VTech, I am
still
NC State. Well, they made the Final Four.
NC State's right there with Duke and Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. In terms of like size and like what they matter to.
I'm not trying to make.
You were going to say that when we're talking about the SEC ACC basketball challenge. NC State is not right there in Auburn fans' minds when you've got a.
I like that matchup though.
I like the matchup, but it's not a flashy. Oh wow, this is a team I couldn't wait to get ever.
You just played North Carolina, and I think NC State could end up being a better team.
The feeling that so many Auburn fans had was, all right, we went to Cameron last year. I want to get those guys back.
They don't do rematches.
No, they don't. And Duke gets to play at home both years.
And it wouldn't be, and it also wouldn't be that last year's Duke team, right? I mean, Connor. No. I mean, it's a different group of guys.
No, it's going to be
telling Auburn's last
team. Exactly. So I mean, I think that just like
it's going to be the Boozer Twins.
My suspicion is that. And I know we got to take a break, but my suspicion is that ESPN likes sort of sending an exotic team to Cameron. And for that matter, I think that absent a really compelling place to send Auburn, they like to have an ACC team sort of be that.
They because they shifted the numbers, because the number jumped, they could bring somebody back-to-back years. So Duke ended up being that one. But yeah, I don't know.
But absent Duke, UNC, or Louisville, I think that's probably about as compelling a matchup.
See, that was the other thing, too. People were like, well, we would have taken Louisville. I was like, I think NC State's going to be just as fun as Louisville is. I mean,
Louisville will probably be a trendier team in the preseason rankings.
I just think NC State gets disrespected because they're not Duke or Carolina. They went to the Final Four 2 years ago.
Pretty recently.
Now it didn't work out after that, but like still, they should be fun. I don't know. I'd just rather see Will Wade than Pat Kelsey.
I thought Will Wade would be fun back at bat.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
You know, that's what I thought.
That would have been incredible. Yeah.
All right, we definitely need to get to our first break. We're just underway. Love for you to join in. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the text box, or they also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com, use the podcast center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
It's the Thursday Drive. Come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Before we get into some other stuff, talk a little bit about the Observer, what's out there, what's coming up, how they can get it.
Yeah, it's been a fun week. This week I did a breakdown of, I think, the two probably the most intriguing transfers for Auburn football this year, just because of who they are and kind of the category they fit in. I wrote about Rayon Strader and Rayshon Pleasant. Just because... You know,
of the spring, like sort of spring portal transfers.
Well, I mean, Strader was already here.
Yeah.
I just think of the
transfers. Those are guys that aren't the first names that come to mind when people are talking about the transfers. They don't look at those guys because.
And I wrote about them because, just real quick, Auburn's roster, the rebuilding process under Hugh Freeze has prioritized two things: blue chip high school players, makes sense, and power conference transfers who can come in and make an immediate impact, right? You look at Rayon Strader and Rayshon Pleasant. They're not the only Group of Five transfers Auburn's had, but those are two guys at a position that had a ton of depth. Auburn still felt like they needed to go out and get them. Broke down some of the reasons why their games. I really, really like Rayshon Pleasant.
My goodness, the film of Pleasant is
yes,
very,
it's a lot of fun.
Very impressive.
There was a lot of excitement when Pleasant hit the portal from different folks who thought, like, oh, this is a – I mean,
Ole Miss, Arkansas, USC also got in on him.
That list of schools that kicked the tires on him is not.
He's a lot of fun. Yeah. Rayon Strader's really fun. And we can talk about these guys because the numbers, both of those guys have a particular number that really, really intrigues me and needs to kind of, you know, did some deeper digging in there. Also this week.
Before we move, I want to hear the second, but with the defensive backs, like the thought.
We can go back to it real quick.
Yeah, okay.
Also this week, did a breakdown of Auburn's basketball's pace, speed, how they're going to ramp it up, and how all that matters. Got mailbag out today, podcast out as well. So auburnobserver.com, check it out.
Well, yes, what's exciting about bringing in veterans like Pleasant and Strader is that, like, you have freshmen that seem like they're going to contribute. Like, we've talked about the freshmen and the defensive back. Like, Auburn has multiple guys who's if everything lines up with
on top of the fact that they already returned two starters at corner who were
freshmen. One was a freshman last year, the other
correct.
Was a
sophomore. You wonder how much you'll truly need to rely on the true freshmen if everyone is healthy with the way you sort. Like last year, there were true freshmen who were the next man up at multiple spots. You had true freshmen starting at different spots. It seems like unless someone is just undeniable, you fortified the roster to the point where, you probably don't. You're probably not going to have an emergency. You would think where it's got to be, but if a freshman's
safety might be the exception there.
You think about who else is available. Like if a true freshman's out there on the field, it's a testament to what you know to what they brought in. And there's the possibility that you don't see that much true freshman production because you've brought in you've now brought in these veterans on top of what you have.
Not returning. Having to play them in some situations, I think you're still going to see a lot of those guys out there on special teams, and you hope you have the opportunity that you can have some games put away and get those guys out there.
Is there
not having to have them out there in critical situations from like game one in the first half or something.
Is there a true freshman that you thought like the buzz about like, oh, he's going to be on the field a lot like this fall for the Auburn defense? Because I mean they went and added more in the defensive backfield, but like I would have guessed a Winters or a Fagans.
New boy Fagans or Eric Winters. Just because like if you're looking at the safeties behind Caleb Harris and Sylvester Smith, it's like,
and that's where you had a couple of guys leave too,
right? And then you added Tay Seymour out of the portal, but you really like the freshman as well. We'll see who ends up playing nickel. We'll see who ends up figuring in some of those slot situations. But I mean,
this takes some of the pressure off Champ Anthony. Right, I mean, you want him to be ready. You know, there's the thought that you know he could be.
I'm interested to see who is going to play nickel besides Champ. You feel like Champ's going to be that guy, but then who else? You know, they can move some guys around for sure. You got some young guys who didn't play as much last year. You could step into that picture. Yeah, safety is the ones I think about. I think if Auburn could have a linebacker who is ready to play as a true freshman, that would be great. If J.J. Falk, Elijah Melendez.
Melendez is the guy that probably had the most buzz in the spring.
Bryce Diaz. If any of those guys are ready to go, that's it. And then the defensive tackles. I think that's a very obvious one where you look at defense because you can never have enough guys you can rely on. But, I mean, Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford, Antonio Coleman's more of an end. But, like, those tackles right now, right away – if one of those guys or both of those guys or any of those guys are ready to roll, you'll definitely use them because defensive line is a position where, like, the deeper you are, the better you are.
Yeah, you love to be able to roll them if you can and keep them fresh.
You think about how good Auburn was with their defensive lines, especially during, like, Kevin Steele and it's those old Rodney Gardner defensive lines where they felt like they were too deep with studs and they could go three deep.
And they were going to wear down the offensive line.
Yeah.
How deep is the rotation without the true freshman on the defensive line? Like, if you're not playing Autry and Crawford,
depends on what you get out of these portal guys.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like it's definitely Blockton, and, or at least at the moment, like Blockton and Bobby Jamison Travis would have an inside track.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's freshmen and transfers, right? I mean, it's.
And some transfers you had in the spring, some you added later. You know, it's again.
They showed a willingness to play Blockton last year as a true freshman too. So I mean, the thought that you could have
it's a whole thing. Like when you were built around recruiting and bringing in
the transfers they had.
He played from the moment he arrived on campus.
Caleb Harris,
yeah.
Jay Crawford. I mean, like there were guys, and like Auburn's going to be, I think, because they returned so much young talent from last season. I think they're going to be less pressed to feel like they have to get a freshman going, but I mean, if they show up and they're as good as advertised, or you know, go ahead and roll them out there. I think that's definitely going to be the case. We'll see at defensive tackle again. I think you can just look at the spine of the defense. I say safety, inside linebacker, defensive tackle. Those are the positions where I could say if Auburn could get a freshman or two to contribute at each of those spots, they'll be in a good spot. Not to say they wouldn't take anybody at edge rusher or corner, because they have options there and they could go. But like you really really like you know, I think guys like Blake Woodby and like Jared Smith at edge rusher, I think those guys are gonna be really good players and could play right away.
I think there's Donovan less, Starr is another guy.
Yeah, Donovan Starr. There's less of a pressing need right now for him than a bit. Whereas like, I feel like safety, inside linebacker, defense tackle, those are all three spots where, like, it could help. It could help if those guys are ready. And like we saw last year, who's to say that your true freshman isn't as ready to go or is a better fit there than some of these experienced transfers?
And most of them have been here since January. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like they're coming in over the summer and
like,
having to
prove something. No disrespect to James Ash or Jay Hardy, but, like, this is a really big step up. And I know Jay Hardy was a pretty big recruit when he was coming out of high school. He seemed to get it back going at Liberty. But, like, for, like, a guy like James Ash, it's like He's going to have to make a step up from the FCS level to the SEC. Meanwhile, these guys, these Autrys and Jordan Crawfords, like, those have been guys that since they've been in high school, people have looked at them and said they're ready to play. Like, they are SEC quality.
You saw Autry, right?
Oh, gosh.
Monster.
Absolute monster.
And everyone who's gone up against Crawford, right, has sort of told the same story.
I did not see Crawford in high school. I did see Autry a good bit.
You saw Crawford this spring.
I saw a young Antonio Coleman. And then Newboy and Eric Winters. Anquan Fagans, whichever, he's Anquan. Newboy Fagans is like as impressive of a safety as I've seen in person at the high school level. And the second time I watched him, he played corner the whole time. He's just a good ball player. And like that's a guy that to me, if you don't have a spot for him right away at nickel, I mean, or at safety, maybe he can play out at nickel. When they played Auburn High last season, when Thompson and Auburn played in the playoffs, they stuck Newboy on Auburn's number one receiver and said, "You got him. Go for it."
They showed a willingness to. I mean, especially in times of emergency last year. But whether it was Sylvester Smith or Caleb Harris or even KLF, right? Like they'd go to somebody who could play either safety spots or the third corner, the inside corner spot.
Yeah. And it depends on what you want out of your nickel.
Yes.
Do you want sometimes it calls for more of a corner and sometimes it calls more of a safety.
I don't get the sense Newboy would be like out of position at any of those spots. You know, you've got more guys back especially compared to year one to year two.
Yeah.
Like you've got more guys back who played meaningful snaps pretty much all over the team. And that's also the case at defensive back.
And as I was saying recently, if you look at Auburn's defense, they were ahead of schedule last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like compared to what we usually saw in year one from DJ Durkin defenses in the SEC. His first season at A&M and at Ole Miss, they went through the fire a little bit, had some tough years, and then the next year they made a big leap forward. Okay, what happens now when Auburn was a top 20, top 30 defense across the board last season?
Yep.
What does that look like a year later where, yes, you have to replace key spots at linebacker. We'll see who's going to go be the sack guy for him if it's not just you need another guy besides Keldrick Falk. You're gonna replace some spots, but like,
are you big on
that defense is good.
You big on Kieron this year as a guy to make a. I mean,
I think he's got all the ability to do it.
He came so close to so many sacks.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was. It felt like an eyelash. Maybe if there's a hair more pressure from the other side,
mm-hmm.
I mean that would help as much as him being able to make up that half step.
Yep. You get that. You have Keldrick out there. And look, I'm interested to see year two, from guys like, is Joe Phillips ready to play? I'm blanking on the other one, the other edge rusher who was a freshman last year.
Not Amaris. He's a D end.
Hey, that's another guy that could give you Jamonte Waller. Pass rushing. It's kind of pretty much every position on defense is like this, the more you talk about it, but like especially I would say like edge rusher, corner, and defensive tackle. There's like as many as you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Load them up and let them run. Right. Like you can live with your inside linebackers being guys that log heavy snaps, your safeties, you know, from time to time your outside corners, but like, you know, you want to those positions up closer to the line of scrimmage and then just that's a spot you got to look at.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We need to get to our next break. Come on in here on the Thursday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Drew at the controls. And we've talked a little Auburn football as we're less than a month away Less than 4 weeks away from Media Days. SEC Media Days will be wrapping up 4 weeks from today.
You want to rope? I want to rope Fergan on the conversation we had a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the Auburn men's basketball team, and like I know we had a caller sort of bring this question up, and I think it leads to like your. I mean, concerns probably is not the right word, but like anything you're hesitant
about.
You
want to go with expectations, or want to go with? I mean, we were talking about. All right, here we are. Baseball will be done in a few days. Not only the end of the college sports for this academic year. So next up, I mean, we've got football season coming up, but a football, basketball, baseball. Mm. Where are your highest expectations or the most excitement about? Which is the
well, let's
big
leave baseball. Leave baseball out of it.
I think baseball. All three of them. Baseball. It may be easier to say baseball just because they've got so many. They've got a lot of players coming back.
I would guess that
played in a super regional.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's funny. We were just talking with some folks, and there's a lot of excitement, and I think rightfully so, about basketball. There's mm-hmm. no question there's a lot of talent coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were saying pump the brakes on expecting it to be, you know,
anything like last year.
Your final four material from the opening week of the season.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when Tahat came back, I saw people being like, this is a preseason top 10 team. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not.
It has the potential of being something.
But, man, they are going – like, the top 10 teams in college basketball next season are going to be teams that, like, you can sit here and project out to, like, they're returning a good chunk of talent. Now, the funny thing is very few of them are in the SEC. They did the same thing with Alabama whenever Filon came back. And it's like, guys, you've got a whole lot. The good news is in the SEC, there's a lot of reset going on.
Do you think there's anyone in the SEC you'd say that about? I know you've seen
who brings a lot back
that folks
that's
you think
top 10
that one? Folks will be bullish about as like a
I think
Final
there's a
Four
team,
type team.
I mean, people are going to say that Florida and Kentucky and maybe Arkansas have the potential, right? You know, but the only team in the SEC that really brings back a good chunk of talent from last season, Missouri, and I like Missouri. Their top-end talent's not what the top-end talent of some of these other teams is. But, like, Missouri's going to be a pretty good basketball team next year like they were. I mean, got to keep in mind, there was that – they fell off in February. But in January, they were like the second-best team in basketball on the floor, projection-wise. Like, they were doing really, really well.
Auburn beat them in the conference opener, right?
And it was immediately – it was immediately – Bruce Pearl said
– dismissed by a lot of people.
Well,
but
Bruce Pearl and a lot of other people said – it's going to be
look
glad
out
you
for
get
this team.
Well, it's like you're glad you got these guys mm-hmm. early, because when they figure it out, it's going to be nasty. And like right immediately from there, they went off. They tailed off towards the end, but still made the tournament and good team.
And Missouri, you know, I think speaking of figuring it out as the season goes on, I would imagine you're going to see more of that with the best teams in the league this year, because it's rosters that were restructured. Like,
oh, yeah, Missouri completely reset their roster from that winless season.
And you think about last year, Auburn and Florida and Tennessee and Alabama had returning production. Like they knew from they had a really good idea what they were the first couple of weeks of the season and went out and beat top teams in the non-conference to sort of show it.
The thing you're running into now is that Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, Alabama, Arkansas – not really Arkansas. I think Arkansas is more of a product of recruiting and turnover. But those four teams, again, it's like they're not coming back with a lot of established talent. They're coming back with a star. And then who does a great job? Florida, Condon. And they got other guys coming back, obviously, Houck as well. But, you know, I guess Tennessee's kind of hitting the reset button there for the most part. Auburn brings back Tahat. Bama brings back Filon. Kentucky, believe Oway's back, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No. Always probably,
back. So it's like
if you told me that the preseason conference player of the year was not either Tahad or Filon, I would guess always
could
in
be Condon.
Condon Oway or
Condon
probably
will
both.
Be Condon will be a Condon will be a popular pick. Oway will be a Condon will be a popular pick because he was was on a national championship team. Oway will be a popular pick because he was Kentucky. Filon. I mean, Tahad had just as good numbers, I think, as they did. I had my thing before Filon came back. my preseason all SEC that I was shaping up was Condon. It was Condon, Mark Mitchell at Missouri, Owe, Tahad, and I think I had Josh Hubbard on there.
I was going to say Hubbard.
And now Hubbard, I'm dropping Hubbard off and putting Filon on.
Hubbard and Fland would probably both be.
Oh,
like,
Boogie, yeah, Boogie. Yeah,
Boogie, Boogie Fland would also be, I think, in folks.
I would go Filon, and sure. I like Boogie Fland a lot. I just need to see, like. I feel like you've seen more out of both. You know, Filon and Tahad.
But I suspect this Auburn team, unlike last year's Auburn team, which went and beat Houston week one, and I think cemented that they were as good as anyone really from the moment the season started.
Yeah.
This year's team, that would be a surprise.
It's hard to imagine they're not going to be some bumps in the road.
But you would think
– got another tough schedule.
Try to figure how these guys are all going to fit together.
But one would think that because of the fact that it's a team that's playing together for the first time like this summer with everyone here, like that team's – that's the kind of
similar
team that –
similar situation to the offseason before the – Jabari and Walker team.
Sure, and you would think those teams, that's the kind of team that's going to be playing better basketball in February than they were playing in November. The easiest thing I think to...
However, that team played really well from the jump.
It's true. But I think the easiest thing to wonder about, just because Tahad and the Keyshawns have played high major ball, like it's everyone...
And Kevin Overton.
And Kevin Overton. It's pretty much everyone else, right? Like it's the transition that...
Yeah.
A Freeman makes, or a Bashir makes, or a Philly, you know, makes from the leagues they were playing.
Anything you get any of those freshmen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like those freshmen. I especially like Caden Magwood. I see a lot of Tahad Pettiford and Caden Magwood. I just think it's like, you know the old like the old personality thing where it's like, you know, lawful, good, evil, chaotic.
Yeah, the D&D.
Yeah. If
D&D
I
personality,
I'm going to say this as a compliment. Caden Magwood is chaotic evil. Tahad Pettiford, go watch that kid play basketball. Mm. He is a villain, and I think it's going to fit in really, really well. But like, this is a guy who is super talented on offense, but also likes really showing people up when he's doing it. He's going to be a really fun fit.
For folks who don't speak Dungeons & Dragons, is that also like a Chad Baker Mazzara or a...
Yes.
KD,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, which means you
gotta
love
have
them.
One.
You love them.
Gotta have one.
Others, everybody else hates them.
You gotta
you
have
hate
one.
Them when they're on somebody else's team.
Yeah, yep. I feel like the best Bruce Pearl teams have always had one of those types.
Yep. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. It's about to be. I mean, we've got the College World Series set with LSU and Coastal Carolina. And then other than that, I mean, as far as college sports, they're done.
Yep.
We're getting ready for the revenue sharing era, I guess you could call it. And
Nike deal?
Yeah, the end of the Under Armour era.
That's right.
That'll be fun. A lot of people will be excited. I've been the guy who's been like, here's what's going to happen when Auburn switches to Nike. The logo's going to change. That's about it.
Jersey. Was there a time for the kids out there? Was there a time when that would have been a major thing as far as the kind of players that your program
10 years
can
ago.
Go
yeah,
get?
Recruiting? Yeah.
In basketball, 10 yeah. years ago.
I think folks would be folks who have come to the sport recently would be shocked to think like, oh yeah,
I think the post FBI, the fact that the FBI sting, the FBI sting and real NIL kind of came together at the same time. You had the sting. The shoe companies got put through the ringer on that one.
Sean Miller was blackballed from the sport and never coached.
He's in the SEC.
And then right after that, after all that dust settled, then you started getting into actual NIL, and that's what runs it. You know, a kid like you know,
it used to be really important.
And I have no insight. I have no insight on this at all whatsoever. Zero. But I am just saying this. I'm going to be very interested. Tahad had a deal with Under Armour.
Yes, he did.
I wonder what how much this looks. I wonder if Nike does the same thing here.
Next year. What I wonder about is how does it work if player A has a deal with company A, but he plays for a school that has a deal with company B? Like, how do those things reconcile? I'm sure this isn't the first time. Like, Cooper Flagg's a New Balance guy, and and Duke most certainly is not a New Balance school, so they've had to figure this out elsewhere. But I'm sure that adds a layer that you didn't have to deal with a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, you're right. All right, we're halfway done here on the Thursday Drive. Got another hour to go, so stick with us.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Thursday. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And we'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of the show, which is brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And speaking of joining us, you can call us on the Drive hotline. It's sponsored by Skybar, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Go to ESPNAU.com, use Podcast Center, or go to ESPNAU, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
All right, Justin with us here on a Thursday. As we said, summer's a little different. I mean, you've been able to catch quite a few Braves games.
Mm-hmm.
You're a season ticket holder, right?
Yep. And
CGSO last night.
Almost one out short. He was coming to like 120 pitches, and they said they went ahead and pulled him. I was coming into this series, I was like, it's going to be a miracle if they can pull this off. And
I think they can make the playoffs.
Oh, I was talking about the Mets series. I was like,
oh you mean just winning the series?
Just winning the series. Just because the Mets had been playing well.
They recently. Had been.
They both had
New
been
York,
and now
New
yeah.
York teams on 16 slides. Did the
Yankees won today, yeah. Day. Yankees beat the Angels today. The comeback on Monday night was Tuesday night was incredible, and then last night you had just about as perfect of a game as you could see for
shut
a Braves
them down.
I mean, Acuna hits a homer on the first pitch, and that would have been enough to win. That's really cool to think about. There was a fun stat last night they showed, because the Braves scored three in the first.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sale is now 29-0 with the Braves when he gets three runs or more.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah. And then also, he didn't get to go to the distance. If he would have done it last night, it would have been his first one in 6 years.
Complete games are like dinosaurs.
Yeah,
you don't see them at
but
all.
But here's the thing:
they're not completely extinct.
Here's the fun thing: if the Braves would have done it yesterday, it would have been their second one of the week.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, they're starting to heat up a little bit more. You're seeing some guys. Ronnie just makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and he helps. I mean, obviously,
he's batting like nearly 400 right now.
Well, he was at 400 after he hit the homer.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can see other guys because of him being in the lineup. It's really impacting some of the other bats.
Yeah, Verdugo's hitting the ball again. You know, you've got some bats there.
Olsen's hitting the ball better.
Olsen absolutely creamed a ball last night. He hit a homer that they said went 188 feet in the air, apex. Like, just wow. Yeah, I mean, it was he hit it straight up.
That is
in the air.
A moonshot.
It was I think the launch angle was like 43. Like it was like he almost hit it just about as good as you could and still like, you know, high, as high as you can and still get it out.
What's your sense of what they could do with the roster between now and the deadline?
It depends. It depends on how they handle the next month. You know, with this win last night, they've won their last three series.
They're what, five and a half or something out of the wild card right now.
So I think if they're still doable. If they're within striking distance of the wild card, this is going to be a team that adds rather than subtracts.
I thought it was interesting that Alex Anthopoulos, adamantly saying the Braves are not sellers and that he was trying to make a deal right now to show that they are not sellers.
Yeah, no, and I think it's a, you know, it makes sense. I'd be very interested to see what they end up trying to do. If Profar comes back and gives you anything in left field, you feel a lot better about your outfield now that Ronnie's back. You know, Michael Harris is not great at the plate this season, but he's a gold glove center fielder, and if that's your 8 or 9 batter. The one that's interesting is if they're not sellers, the mind immediately goes to shortstop.
Sure, absolutely.
And if they could pull off a shortstop that, you know, God bless Nick Allen. He's an incredible defensive player, not giving you a ton at the plate. But if you do that and you can keep Allen as a defensive replacement because he's so versatile and you can move him around, you got him and Eli White and Verdugo and like you stay and then whichever one of your catchers you're not starting, you start looking at a better team. But just be very interesting to me what they move to if they go get a shortstop, what they can move, because the Braves system, the Braves farm system is just not very deep. This is a win now team that's got a lot of mid to young age stars, so. And it's a lot of pitchers.
What kind? Yeah, what kind of pitching could be in demand in the system? Because I imagine maybe if
they've got a lot of pitching, it's just a matter of who they're going to want to move. And they've got some pieces there that they feel like, you know, how close are they?
I feel about it, I would gladly trade young pitching if I could get a proven commodity.
And I'd be very interested to see what kind of proven commodity at shortstops out there that would make sense. And the Braves wouldn't feel like they had to like sell the farm to go get.
I would think maybe. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, Bill. But like, would the Pirates kick Kiner Falefa out there as a potential shortstop for somebody who like if a contender?
And the Pirates have got to be sellers.
An upgrade at shortstop.
IKF's hitting close. I mean, he's hitting over 280. He was around 300 just.
Hey, the Braves can go get O'Neill Cruz and put him back at short.
Oh yeah, yeah. That would cost more than a pitcher.
That would cost a
somewhere
lot
in the minors.
Apparently the Braves kicked the tires on the Devers trade. That was the rumors that they were one of the teams that had reached out about Devers, and I still can't believe that was what the asking price, like the final price. And I know he didn't have a great relationship, but I mean this is a Rafael Devers is what, top 10 hitter in baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got him
for Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, and a couple
and
dudes.
Two minor leaguers. Yeah. Apparently, the first thing the Red Sox wouldn't back off the Giants' top prospect. The Giants kept saying no, and the Red Sox ended up backing down.
I still can't help but wonder if Eldridge.
Oh, Eldridge. Yeah.
I keep wondering if there was pushback from teams to taking all of the Devers contract, right? Like that. I mean, because it seems like it was like that, because that was the prerequisite first and foremost. Was the Red Sox said like this is what we owe this guy?
They're not sending any money.
Yeah, there's $250 million guaranteed to this guy over the next 8 years. We want you to take every cent of it.
But you know what? 8 years for $250 million for one of the top 10 hitters in baseball is not a bad deal.
I agree.
It's not like he's 30, you know, 35.
The Giants have money
right now.
You're not under
28. So
like there are contracts. There are long-term baseball contracts where you're underwater right now, right? Rendon. Where you're not
saw
getting
somebody,
them to
saw
Chris
somebody,
Bryant.
Saw somebody say the other day that the Angels are probably just going to end up cutting him.
Yeah,
at the end
of
the year.
There are some disasters.
Eating that.
I wouldn't describe Devers as like. Ooh. I mean, even look, if it's unhappiness in the clubhouse, you got to move him. Fine. The contract itself, like considering how the guy produces compared to a Bogarts or a Rendon or a Chris Bryant deal, like it's a bargain.
At least Bogarts can play.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But you know what? You're paying him for 8 more years too. Like so.
Oh, how about the middle infield for the Rangers?
Oh, the Seager deal? Yeah.
Seager and Simeon.
They got a title.
Okay, but look how much they're paying those guys for a long term. Like, you know, like, those are some pretty eye-popping numbers.
Yeah, Buster Posey, though, wanted a star. He's been saying the Giants need that superstar to be the attraction and to build the team around. So they got one.
And it didn't cost him as much as folks thought it probably.
No, it probably should have cost it to
go get a Devers.
All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline. Let's get to it. And Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey, fellas. Let's don't waste our time talking about a team 11 back. Let's talk about a team that's hot and expanding their lead in first place. And that's the L.A. Dodgers.
Always happy to see, you know, things lining up for.
How'd y'all feel about the Ohtani start the other
for
day?
Our guys? You know, it's
he's hitting triple digits in his very first inning that he throws. I think that's
terrifying.
Not a bad sign.
Terrifying.
Yeah, and Brett, you know, Kershaw's still got a little bit left in the tank. You know, at least for you know,
he still knows how to pitch. You know what I mean?
Kershaw had an excellent outing.
Yes, he did.
2-0 coming back. And Paige has really been hot lately.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe Mike Schilt knows who he is now.
The youngster. I'd like to see Kim get some more at bats, but it's not the easiest thing to
at whose expense?
That's the trouble. Is that finding spots for him?
You're still doing the whole thing with the Russians.
Edmonds hitting. So I mean, you can't really.
That's the situation, and I heard him talking about it on the Dodgers broadcast. I mean, when you are, I mean, they have so much talent that youngsters who have tremendous amounts of talent may get called up and get an opportunity, but there's somebody, and it's not just somebody. It's generally an all-star type caliber guy that's ahead of him.
Conforto would be the guy on the hot seat right now you're going to lose your playing time if things don't perk up. But no, pretty much everywhere else, it's not. I mean,
yeah, Kim's not bad in center.
I mean, folks were grumbling about Muncy, but he was one of the best hitters in the National League in May. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, Dan, I'm not really a Muncy fan.
I love the guy.
I love the guy.
I love the old horse. You know, and Muncy's a guy too. Where I understand the thought of the Dodgers as this $1 million, you know, roster of guys that they plucked from everybody else who were highly successful. And yes, there are some big free agents who came to the Dodgers, but Max Muncy was. Like, I mean, Max
Muncy and Justin Turner.
They're
following Justin Turner as a scrap heap guy that turned into a star.
Max Muncy had been DFA'd by the A's, right? And that's usually the last stop, you know, out of baseball. And he was he was picked up by the Dodgers and hit and has been, you know, a huge part of the last 7 or 8 seasons for the Dodgers and you know, a big part of both championship teams. So yeah, I think it's I'm glad they were patient with him, even though the end could be coming for Big Max.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping it's very very close here, like July.
Oh,
wow.
Oh right. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all have a great evening.
All right.
Breaks my heart.
Well, I wanted to ask, and who's his replacement? Who do you just move Kim? Is that what you move Edmund over to?
Or do you make a move? I don't know. Max is hitting. I'm not replacing Max.
Well, no, I'm just saying if you did, that's what that's I was going to ask Brad. Is if you don't
that's
have
what
Max
the Dodgers
Muncy
need
anymore.
Another move?
Yeah.
The roster, the talent is not. There's not enough. There's you know.
No, there's never too much. There's never too much talent.
Especially
for
them.
You should always.
If they don't have to pay it for 20 years, who cares?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think that if they were to make a move, like I don't know, they got starting pitchers coming back allegedly. I mean, I don't. They think some of those
they had 14 pitchers on the injured list.
I know.
14 pitchers on the injured list. So I thought your roster was ridiculous.
Yeah, some of those guys might be. Some of those guys might be coming back. We'll see. But it's been. They're usually. You're saying this about the Phillies the other day. Like the Dodgers are a team where, you know, team the every. some of the worst teams in baseball tend to overachieve over the first 90 days and then drift back to the pack consistently over, you know, in the Dave Roberts era. The Dodgers have been one of the best teams in July. They've been one of the best teams in August. They've been one of the best teams in September. The Braves have been very good in those months.
Good.
The Phillies, like the best teams in the National League have been the teams that have, like, really starting about now until the end of the season, you'll see separation between the very best teams in the league and everybody else.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Again, 334-321-1390. As you can tell, we'll go whatever direction you would like. Join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we'll get right back to The Drive Hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, John, good to hear from you.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to for you guys to help me with a judgment call. Is it wrong to be envious of your children?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let me give you the scenario, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's a...
My daughter got to go to a game today at Wrigley, and I've never done that.
Yeah.
So well, then I would say, no, it's not wrong.
Nope, not wrong at all.
It shouldn't be the only emotion.
I've never okay. So I went to Wrigley, but we did a rooftop, and it was like one of those like obstructed view ones. So I've never actually been in Wrigley. I've always wanted to like go in it. So I'm looking. You know, maybe one day I'll go.
Talk
so,
about it, Drew. You've been there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Drew. Yeah, we got
Drew's a big Cubs fan here. Yeah, he's been to Wrigley three times.
Fan.
He said,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean that makes sense. That one in Fenway or two that I'm just like, all right, I gotta go there at some point.
Yeah, well, me too. And but I'm like Bill, I'm a little longer in the tooth and probably have less opportunity than you two.
So you better go ahead and do it then, John.
Yeah, I better go ahead because we're not promising anything necessarily.
That's right.
So,
absolutely.
But I would love to go to Wrigley, and I've only been to a few parks, but I would love to go to those two. Been to Tampa. In Atlanta. Been to Atlanta a bunch of times, of course.
Yeah, you know, the Trop does not have a sterling reputation. Maybe I got to use past tense. Did not have the best reputation. I always had fun going. I went, you know, to games from my grandparents had season tickets to the first three seasons of the existence of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And I have a lot of warm memories of going to that place, even when it was the Thunderdome for the Lightning before they turned it into a baseball park. It was built for baseball, but the hockey team used it for the first couple seasons. And I always had fun inside the Trop. I know that its days are probably numbered. We'll see if Major League Baseball's days in the Tampa St. Pete area are numbered with the looming sale. But I always thought that was a fun place to watch a baseball game, even if it was often derided by other folks who go to baseball at a lot of other parks too.
Well, listen, I can share a couple of things then about Tampa. My experiences were outstanding. Not for the park, but I saw Mac Garza pitch a no-hitter.
Wow.
Never seen that before. That was really, really cool. One of the best sporting events I've ever been to in my life. And I have one there that even supersedes it. And that was one of my former students got to pitch for St. Louis against Tampa in his first major league game. Wow. And I was there with his family.
That's something that not a lot of people can say something like that. That is amazing.
No, I'm glad I drove all that way to do that.
Yeah.
Tell you what, too, on that, I got there really early, and went down and sat like on the second row, and my seats were actually in left field. And so I just stayed where I was. I said, well, heck, I'll just stay where I am. And so until somebody moves me, I'll stay. Well, his mom said, he's coming into the game. Can I come down and sit with you? I said, yeah, nobody's sitting by me. It's fine. So she came down, and this guy said, well, that's actually my seat. I said, come on, man, that's his mom. He's coming out there. He said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So he came out, and the first pitch he threw, two men on base, he was a relief pitcher, two men on base, and it went to the warning track, and his mom said, "Oh my gosh, it's a home run, his first pitch." But he caught it. And then they knocked into a 5-4-3 double play, got out of the inning, and ended up being the player of the game for them. Wow. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I had never thought of that, but you know, I take my wife to ball games, and I could use that line. She's his mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's the pitcher's mother. What are you talking about? You can't move us from these seats.
That's good.
Yeah, but there's a difference in that, though, Bill.
Yeah, yours was
true. Telling the
truth. I know. But it might work.
It might work, though. I mean, do what you got to, I guess. I don't know, but that was a really cool experience,
oh, yeah,
one I've been
I'm
able
sure.
to share a lot. Because I'm not an athlete at all. I love sports, but I'm not any kind of an athlete. I wasn't even any good at the lower level. I mean, even at the little league level, you know. But
you don't have to have been to love it. No, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. His mom was shaking like a leaf. She was recording it. And she was shaking like a leaf when that happened. And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had to watch, mainly to watch her, because she'd been dragging that kid to ballpark since she was
I can't imagine. I mean, the most nerve-wracking thing that I can remember as a parent was watching my boys pitch. I mean, and that obviously wasn't at the major league level. But, I mean, really, I'm sure she was just, you know, shaking.
Oh, yeah, and he ended up being on the Olympic team, won the silver medal at the last Summer Olympics, too, so that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch him.
Mm.
But he's retired now, but he's still coaching, and he ended up playing in Japan for about 8 years. But he did real well.
Yeah, no
You know, kidding. Had quite a career.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. And got to be on the Today Show one morning. He represented the ball team for the – See, one thing I can take credit for, I helped him with public speaking, so that was one.
There you go.
One little feather. There you go. So, anyway, I've shared enough today. Let someone else get on, but I enjoyed the show.
No, it's great hearing from you, John. That's great stuff.
Sure.
I'm glad you brought it. Brother, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I just said, yeah, we appreciate getting calls like that.
We actually, in the mailbag today, I asked my question for the week for the readers was, what's the number one sports stadium, arena, venue that you've never been to that you want to go to the most? Like, what's on the top of your bucket list, so to speak?
Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, that was yours.
Yeah, baby.
Mine would have been Arena Mexico last
Arena
night.
Arena Mexico.
But
Madison Square Garden. Like,
I've been by the garden. I've never actually been in it.
I've never. Have you been to a venue? Like, you've seen something like
Knicks
a
game.
Oh, see, very cool. Yeah, I've never.
Long time ago.
There's talk. I probably shouldn't say this on the air. There was talk of. I don't know if the St. John's women play in Madison Square Garden. Maybe just the men. But there was talk of St. John's game a couple years ago with Troy as part of a visit to the Northeast that may have been preempted by COVID. But that's something that I certainly want to check off my list if I get the opportunity.
But you know, talking about baseball stadiums, one of the ones that was mentioned in there, and we talked about Wrigley and Fenway.
Yeah, I haven't been to Wrigley either.
One of the ones that was mentioned by somebody was one that I've actually been to, and that's Oracle in San Francisco, and it is incredible.
Yeah,
beautiful.
That's what everybody who's been there says.
Beautiful venue. It's got that old kind of ballpark feel, but it's still got a lot of like modern kind of bells and whistles to it. The view is gorgeous, and the food there is incredible. Like, they have so many, like San Francisco, like, you got so many different type of ballpark options. The garlic fries is what they're known for. They live up to the hype. They're incredible.
Chase Field didn't really blow me away, but the other, like, I think
Chase Field's wild because the whole walking on the concourse feels like you're in a hotel.
Yeah.
And that was weird.
And they can't open or close the roof because it's not safe with people in the venue or whatever. But I think the West Coast ballparks, I've never been to Seattle, but everybody says
been by the stadium.
Everybody
would like
says
to go
Safeco's,
back
yeah.
and go to a game there.
The artist formerly known as Safeco, I don't know if it's still
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile Park is, and then Petco. People rave about.
I have been around both of those parks, but have actually never been inside for a game. Petco looked crazy walking around it. Me and Josh Vitale, before Auburn played in San Diego in the NCAA tournament several years ago, we were in that area like the night or two nights before Auburn played, or maybe the night between their games. And we just like walked the perimeter of it and looked inside. It was really cool.
The Angels games are like, and I'm sure it's this way now post Otani too, where it's like, you get the feeling that there aren't that many hardcores that are there for the
and you know the whole thing about the Angels. Well, obviously you know the thing about the Angel Stadium, right?
That it's like right by Disney.
It's like right at Disneyland. It's in a neighborhood. And you turn and it's like here's Disneyland and here's the Angel Stadium.
There are multiple rides at Disneyland where like at the top you can see the Angels ballpark. Oh, wow, yeah, okay. Like there's Splash Mountain or whatever.
Been to Coors, but I've always heard it was great. My wife sang the national anthem with a group at Coors and another one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I believe Old Yankee Stadium was the other one.
Oh, that's fun.
But yeah, she's done a few of those.
Coors, I'm told, has that like when the Cubs are bad and people are just at Wrigley for the party.
Just for the fun.
That's Coors now. That's the majority of the Rockies' history.
Yeah.
That's Coors now. And that's an increasing number of ballparks in America, it sounds like.
Oh, I mean, another example. One of the ones that was mentioned in the mailbag, I did not go to this one, but when I was very little, we lived in Pennsylvania for a summer. I went to a Pirates Braves game the final year that Three Rivers was around, so I was very little then. They were building PNC. I've heard nothing but outstanding things about PNC because of the view there.
Three Rivers, have not been to PNC.
Yeah. Went to Yankee Stadium, went to the new Yankee Stadium, didn't go to the old one. Been by... What is it now? City Field. My brother raves about Oriole Park, Camden Yards.
Yeah, Camden Yards. I've been to Camden Yards. I've not been to Nationals Park, but I've been to.
My sister really liked it when she lived in D.C.
I'm told that when the Nationals were good, like the championship the championship era of the Nationals, I'm told Nationals Park was just a. Was a blast for home game. It's cooled off.
Another one of my sisters and her husband earlier this year, they did a trip. He's a Cardinals fan, and it just so happened there was a trip where the Cardinals were playing the Cubs in Wrigley, and the Braves were playing because she's a Braves fan. Braves playing the White Sox in whatever it's called now.
Comiskey,
and so they ended up. Trying to hit that kind of two for one. I think one of those games got rained out, but it was the Wrigley's awesome, and the White Sox Stadium exists. Like it's just kind of there, and they've done that, and they went to Philly for the first time. Really like that, so that's a pretty fun atmosphere, especially when the Phillies are good.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things also about the Tiger Stadium, Comerica, or whatever. Is it still Comerica?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Heard great things. So yeah, there's some really like there's only a few ballparks I would say that are just like I don't really have much of a desire to go. We drove by when Auburn played at Missouri this year. We drove by
St. Louis.
Kauffman's
days are numbered, right? Isn't that the talk?
Yeah,
they're building a new one.
Yeah. But yeah, Kauffman, it looked all right from there. But yeah, don't really.
I went to a game the last year at Old Bush. Not New Bush, right? Like I've not been.
But not inside the new Ranger Stadium. That looks like a grill.
I've been inside.
Well, the temperature that's appropriate.
Like it was the we had
a big ugly metal building.
We had a thing there for media days last year.
Yep.
Jordan Hill and I went, and it was like the game was it was the day after
you know
the,
what the you day know after what the I'm all, now realizing in this conversation
the day after the All-Star game.
You know what I'm realizing in this conversation? I have been outside a ton of. Major League ballparks, but not inside. Because I'm now thinking Houston, Dallas. I've been outside a ton of them. I've only been to a game in a handful.
How many times has it been in the season for that?
Not a ton.
That's a thing. I mean,
not a ton. Yeah, I was thinking like the time I was in Seattle. It was in December. I was right by Minute Maid in November.
Like what up? Well, the one time I was in Boston, it was not. Yeah. During the season, so it's like,
I've heard. Yeah, Boston's the one that I've never been to Fenway.
No.
Oh wow! I for some reason I thought that you'd seen a game at Fenway Park.
No.
That'd be. Yeah, it's one of those things I think you just have to do it at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, you can join in with this or anything that you'd like to talk about. 334-321-1390. We've got about 25 minutes to go here on the Thursday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian.
Hey!
Hey-o!
You know what? I wasn't even thinking. That's just, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Brian should be in Monday.
Should have Brian. No.
Honestly, you know what? Getting accidentally called Brian Matthews is an honor.
Well, you know, it's just
the one of the elder statesmen.
That was like a reflex.
That's not an old joke. He's just been here for a while.
I brought in his Troy women's basketball one time. So I mean, it's not the the end of the world. I don't think you were here.
I forget my own name half the time when I try to do a podcast.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you start when it's one when you're not thinking. You're thinking ahead of what you're going to be talking about.
You know what? Honestly, if you would have introduced me as either Brian Matthews or Jason Caldwell, I'd have been like, you know what? My reputation just went up.
Yeah.
In this area.
I mean, those are the big three co-hosts. We have Don Dunn on Fridays
too. Coach Dunn too.
Coach Don Dunn, who's on vacation and not coming in tomorrow, right?
No, he won't be in for the next two Fridays.
Okay, we got to figure some things out, move some things around there. But the coach will be back soon.
We'll be here tomorrow. You've got a couple of guests lined up tomorrow.
Yeah, very exciting. Oh, and we usually have Jason Caldwell, and he was
on Wednesdays,
and he was also on vacation.
The Caldwell.
It's a good time to go on.
Caldwell's traveling up the East Coast,
nice,
and back for a little break.
And Andy Burcham taking a little summer vacation too.
It's a great time to take a break.
Couple of our favorites.
I'm going on an anniversary trip next week.
Very exciting. You going to the beach?
No, we're going to Blue Ridge.
Oh, yeah, fun!
Going the opposite direction, and also.
Well, I mentioned next Friday because Friday and the following Monday, hopefully Brian should be here. That's our long weekend.
That's right.
Nice.
I'll
also say this in case anyone who's listening on the podcast is in this area. I am going to be speaking at the Athens Auburn Club meeting next Thursday.
Oh, cool!
How cool!
Me and Corey Williams booked for the same one. I feel very odd that I'm sharing a billing with a guy with a Final Four assistant coach.
Have you done speaking engagements at clubs?
The first one.
What do you got planned?
I have no
material?
Idea.
You got
no
some,
idea.
All right. Well.
No idea. I think it's
Bill. What should he do?
Q&A's usually.
What should he do?
Do you have an opening statement?
A funny line or two somewhere. Yeah. A funny story.
Yeah. The guy who's the president of the Athens Auburn Club, we got connected sometime during basketball season. He said, "Hey, I'll hit you up in the summer," and
great.
Here we are. So,
you'll do fine.
Kill two birds with one stone. I'll be going to Athens on Thursday night, and I'll be already on my way all the way up to Georgia.
Well, that'll be fun. So, you find a way to fold that into the into.
It just so happened to work out that way. So, nice. But yeah, so. As we were saying earlier, I'll probably try to come in and help y'all out on Tuesday if you're going to be out on Tuesday.
Yeah,
Because you're singing Ringo Tuesday, right?
That is right. Ringo and his All-Stars.
In Tuscaloosa, they play in...
At the...
is there an amphitheater?
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think it's Mercedes-Benz Amphitheater.
Own everything else now.
I mean, look, they've had some pretty good shows there all the time, so...
I will say this: the Googe ramping up. I know this upcoming schedule for the next school year is supposed to be a pretty big one. So yeah, it's really cool to see a lot of these venues kind of, especially around here. Instead of having to be like, and I know you go to live concerts all the time. It's like instead of having to be like, all right, I have to go to Atlanta if I want to go see anything or Birmingham or anything like that. It's a little better when you can go.
Oh,
a
it's
little
great
bit more.
If you don't have to travel as far.
Bill, you mentioned that we got a couple of special guests tomorrow, and excited to catch up with our buddy Jordan Hill, Braves season ticket holder in his own right, and
we have the same tickets.
That's a matter of fact, and also a guy who covers the Georgia Bulldogs program inside and out. So
we
talk with
we were nailing down Jordan and I were actually talking today. We were nailing down so
who's media, going when? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing: media days.
Yep.
And All-Star happened at the same time again this year in the same venue like it was last year for media days.
Do you get an inside track to All-Star game tickets as a Braves season ticket holder? Hey, now.
We had to pay more, but, you know.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
But Jordan and I have tickets for everything for All-Star week.
We get Derby
in-game. So, yeah. Looking forward to that. And we were saying, like, when the Braves were really struggling, look, you know, we don't know how this season's going to turn out. It could end up being a wash. But, like, you know, when they were really scuffling there for a while, it was just like, yeah, well, we got All-Star. You know, we have the season tickets that got us access to these All-Star tickets. The fact that the All-Star game and a home run – I've always, always, always wanted to go to a home run derby.
Absolutely.
I've always wanted to go to a home run derby. So when it was like last year – long story short, Braves won the World Series in 2021. I get on the season ticket wait list then. I'm on it for 2 years. The second year, the year before I get on, they have the best offense in the history of baseball. The year after that, they start sliding. Yep. So we've had it for 2 years. When we started talking last offseason, like, do we want to do this again? Do we want to re-up? We were like, All-Stars in town. Like,
yeah.
We've got it. We've got to at least keep it for one more year. And so looking forward to it. Like, All-Star game will be fun, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I've
always wanted to go to Home Run Derby.
Home Run Derby seems like fun. I would love to go to the All-Star game. The Major League Baseball All-Star game seems like it's going to be a blast.
It's going to work out pretty well. I'll be, you know, coming into Atlanta on the Monday night, Home Run Derby. Tuesday, Auburn's at Media Days. Tuesday night, All-Star game. We're going to hit them all.
Man.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be great.
That's really – I had no idea.
And also, Georgia also goes on the same day Auburn does. So, Jordan and I are both like – on the exact same schedule.
I had no idea how they did, like, All-Star game ticketing and how, like, season ticket holders get inside track.
Basically, they should. I mean,
basically, we had, like – access to buy our seats
before they became open available for others.
Yep. Is Sale the likeliest Braves All Star?
I would say Sale.
Riley.
I would say Sale. Fan vote's going to be tough. I hope Acuna can make
He will.
And if he doesn't make the first, you know, whatever, I feel like a replacement player. He's going to be easily a replacement player. Other than that, that's probably it. Schwalbach.
Is it tough to make the All-Star game if you missed as much of the first half of the season as Acuna did? I put him in. But
if Paul Skene started
the game. A superstar, it's true. It would be.
Paul Skene started the All-Star game last year, and they played about the exact amount, the same amount of time.
I mean, and it's not like he's come up and struggled.
No. I mean,
he's come back and just been phenomenal.
Looked like he was when he was an MVP.
Looked as good as ever.
We talked about
he's not doing, he's not running.
He's not stealing bases, but. He's right. I'm just saying, like, he's not stealing bases, but his sprint speed is like they were tracking his sprint speed, and it's as good as it's ever been.
We mentioned we checked on the ballot earlier this week, and I think that Acuna would be an interesting one to wonder about his inclusion as a reserve or to appoint him as a replacement, and the fact that the game's in Atlanta, I think
he's got to be on
makes it tough. But I would think that the first whenever we get the first roster, which has got to be pretty soon, I would.
It's still a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would
right before the fourth.
Sale and Riley would be my guesses for like the likeliest guys to be named. And Schwellenbach.
I would put Schwellenbach over Riley. I'm trying to think third. Well, heck, now that Devers is third baseman in the National League, it's going to be even tougher.
Yeah, he's second in the voting, I believe, now in the National
as
League.
As a DH, though, I believe, is where was where his where his you're right. I believe his votes were DH for, yeah.
It is a DH.
So behind Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's going to be the third baseman in the National League?
You could go with
Machado?
Machado.
Machado's the leader. I tell you what, Eugenio Suarez.
Suarez and Muncy.
Muncy's catching up. He hit 22nd or 23rd today.
He had four against Atlanta in the same game.
Yeah, I think Lindor and Machado feel like pretty easy. Like that's a side of the infield you could go pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I think like with the National
League. Although Marte at second.
Yes.
If you're going by merit.
Marte's the leader in votes too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, there's Turner and Mookie, Alonso and CJ. I mean, there's
who's getting first?
Probably Alonso, Freddie or Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
PCA looks like he's going to probably take it in the outfield.
Good call. Well, he should.
Yeah, it's been incredible.
What a fantastic year.
So it was like PCA and
Teoscar wasn't getting.
He was in the top.
Kyle Tucker,
five.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks outfielder.
Corbin Carroll.
Carroll's up.
Yeah.
Tatis probably is in there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a.
These guys are all going to make it. I mean,
they'll have the opportunity. Yeah. I mean, whether or not they
play,
whether they
like minor, like super minor silly thing that I'm excited about with the All-Star game is they're going back to playing home uniforms and road uniforms in the actual game. I think it's just going to look cool. Yeah. I just the All-Star game uniforms.
Yeah, I like
never
it.
Really
I like
it
when
it.
You can tell. Oh. Like you see the uniform before you know exactly who it is.
That was a cash grab. Like the All-Star uniform to have an American League and a National League one.
They look silly usually.
And I guess they'll wear them to the Home Run Derby.
The only thing I don't know about this, somebody brought this up the other day. If they're going to wear road uniforms, it's like, okay, the traditional road grays, whites at home. Here's an issue. The Seattle Mariners don't have a gray jersey. They wear blue on the road. They like completely took gray out of there.
That's fine.
Them and somebody else don't wear gray.
Yeah, find them one.
Hey, years ago, they let the players choose what of their uniforms they wanted to wear. Home or road.
I think,
and you'd see wildly different colors and everything out there in the field. And I think it's great. Yeah. The only problem is at times, you'd get
a little confusing.
Does everyone throw
to a runner or to your teammate?
Maybe everybody like the NL, everybody wears their white uniform.
I was about
everybody
to say, everyone has a white jersey.
And then, but in the American League, just pick whatever you want.
Yeah,
just
why not?
Then
the non-white jerseys.
Yeah,
would be
you just do it. You just do it that
there's way. Another. There's another. There's another team that doesn't have gray uniforms anymore, and I can't remember who it is for the life of me. It'll come to me in a second. But, yeah, the Mariners completely took them out of the rotation. Oh, the Rays. The Rays don't have a gray uniform anymore. So it's like those are two American
teams. Well, they don't have a stadium. So.
Is it whites and blues? Is that what Tampa
yes,
does?
They wear blue on the road. Yeah, just like the Mariners do. I like that idea. Just everybody just wear a color.
Yeah.
If the Red Sox players want to wear the red, that would look really cool.
I think
that'd
be awesome.
So too. Yeah, it'd be boring. The Yankees would have to wear gray, but some of those teams have some fun ones. Although, I don't know. Drew the newer Cubs uniforms are interesting this year. Those are the brighter blue ones that they've been wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I like those.
They're like throwbacks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that. I'm also fingers crossed. They do the. They do the City Connects. They're going to refresh them every 3 years, I think. You have them for 3 years, and they mm-hmm. give you a new one. So the Braves are coming up to the end of one now. They've had the Hank Aaron era ones. Jordan and I have decided if they're refreshing it next year, we want Dale Murphy era all baby blue.
Yeah,
Braves. Of course.
Do a tweak on that concept.
Wasn't crazy about the caps, but I mean, they were so bad. In some of those years, that it'd be funny to see those things.
They're so
out
popular.
Again.
If you go to a Braves game, you will see a ton of Dale Murphy jerseys. Those baby blue Murphy jerseys. They're so popular right now.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Thursday Drive.
Cody Dykes and the team at Superior Roofing would like to thank everyone who voted Superior Roofing as the best roofer.